Welcome to the second day of week two, which is technically day seven of CoData RDA Data Science Summer School. This is Data Science Diaries, and I'm here once again to tell you about what happened during the course of the day. A day of some fun diagrams, some interesting tools, lots of talk about research data services, licenses, and overall a quite dedicated day to what my job is, or different aspects of my job, and an opportunity to engage more with different scope of work that we do and trying to learn from others. We started off with a review of what we had done the day before, and then we looked at rubrics to check DMPs. Oh, it feels like a long day. I'm struggling to remember what that rubric looked like, but I'm sure I have it in my file somewhere. It was more about looking at how long a DMP should be and what it should do, the kind of main questions that it should try to answer, and to make sure that it's not that long, that it is not a project description on its own, but rather is like a complementary thing that focuses specifically on the data and not on other things. We had a short-ish exercise after looking at the rubric of what a DMP is, and that was a shared rubric that I think is actually quite useful in terms of when looking at giving DMP training in the future, to look at people and say, look, how do you know your DMP is good enough? Then we had a bit of a create a persona situation where we created different potential research characters and look at how the DMP or having to do DMP would affect their lives. And it seems like the characters that were come up with were pretty similar across all institutions. There was a lead principal investigator who was quite behind technology and gave this task to his research assistant who had never really encountered before, who ran to the librarian. And the grant office was like, no, we can't give you money until you do this. So we talked about potential strategies and the thing that a lot of the training needs to come from the grant office and the people who give money so that DMPs are done properly. I think the frustrating thing about DMPs was still the fact that they're not machine actionable yet. That still seems to be a bit of a dream or a theory, but it's not quite connected to it. Even though I was told that DMP online platform can be rigged in such a way to allow you to send you notifications over what certain options people have taken. For example, if they have selected that they need more storage than other people, then they could do that. The next thing we focused on was metadata, our favorite kind of data at DLS, after spatial data. And we looked at how much metadata do you need, the fact that you're focused towards a third party, and this was led by Joy Davidson. This thing of always trying to find a domain-specific standard for the metadata, as helpful as it can be. And there was a few links provided of tools and resources that are per discipline that have like, here's the kind of metadata that you can use, but still not quite a clear-cut situation in terms of what it is. Dublin Core is still like the basic, but the DDI is like a new one. Not a new one, it's a more concise or more domain-specific one that we can look into. We talked also about how metadata is important at the start of the project and not just at the end, which, of course, we know a lot of from DLS experience because people come to us at the end of the project. We did a brief overview of licenses once it was discovered that we had done it before. So I think we felt like we went through a lot, but a lot of it was kind of like recapping what we had touched upon last week and then trying to add a bit more to it. But the more still didn't seem like it was quite enough. There's a recommendation made that all data sets be like given a license of CC0 that kind of absolves you of everything, which I guess I would struggle to see how a lot of our researchers would buy into that because they want that attribution. And nobody seemed to have an answer about like keeping track of the citations and the attributions. Also because when you assign a license, which is great and gives you some protection, it's upon you to be the policeman that picks up if somebody else is using your work without the right attribution. The other thing that was a bit of a flag for me about licenses was something around like I had mentioned how, you know, we might have researchers who really want to use the CC BY NC license, which means that no commercial derivatives allowed or nobody's allowed to republish this for another use. And Venkat had mentioned that because journals are kind of doing things for commercial use, this might prohibit people or might stop them from using this work in a journal article. So if you have a data set, giving it a CC BY NC might stop somebody from writing a journal article because they are thinking, well, I don't have the license for this. It is not granted to me, which is an interesting point and something I didn't think about and how it kind of stops you from being open. At this point now, going chronologically, is where we encountered the big issue around preservation and repositories and the fact that a lot of people seem to be using one repository for both. And I got very confused because the way they were talking about repository, it felt like this was their answer for long-term preservation. So Marianne Hrutveld, who works at Dance, seems to imply that their archiving procedures linked to their repository, and there is a person who does the whole kind of archivum methodology, OIS model, and then it becomes available on depository. And this threw around the fact that suddenly, even within the instructors, not all the terms were commonly understood or their meaning was not shared, even though the different stages are interpreted. But this was now the one part where, you know, I was telling them how we have one solution for data publishing and data sharing, and preservation is a different one. And it just feels like some of them are trying to combine the two, or kind of not making the link between the two. It did point out to me what I hadn't considered before, is whether we're going to have a link between Ziva Hub and our future archivum, and whether what you put on Ziva Hub needs to then kind of get processed to be preserved as well. And I was trying to figure out, because in my understanding of how important preservation is and what it does, but I guess if you do the process before sharing it, that is fine. The idea of some kind of vault that locks up, and I think my understanding with archivum is that we would have a record that we have this, but if you wanted to access it, this would require a bit more work and that. But it just threw, I think what was important lesson was to just see in practice how even with one of the established institutions who've been practicing this in more detail and with more resourcing than we have at UCT, perhaps, there's still not a standardized definition to things or standardized understanding. And I mean, we even within UCT, and later we got onto that because we were doing an RDS services analysis of what UCT offers, we were realizing that, you know, on some pages we have open scholarship, on some pages we have open science, how those terms are interchangeable. There were a few very interesting graphs. There's a particular one that was referenced by Marianne, by Carol Goebel, who talks about the journey of sharing of data and how the more you share, the more work is required to keep it kind of reusable. And it's a nice spiral graph that I posted because it just kind of informed a lot of things of how things work. We talked about repositories in more detail and the core trust certification that's assigned to some repositories. We looked at what the different specifications are and would you be granted it or not. A digital repository says long-term access to curated digital resources. And it did make me wonder, you know, how are we at UCT, at Ziva Hub, how long-term that is. I guess we will always have a data repository. I looked at different levels of curation, different levels of quality. There was another rubric here to look at potential repositories and where to deposit it, which was quite useful as well. Then the last part of the day, and I think for me this felt the core of what I'm doing was probably the most helpful, was an analysis of research data management services, or research data services, I think, a test called RISE, which had it's a self-evaluation that you do called research infrastructure self-evaluation. And we were talked through it by Venkat, who was looking at all the different models, not all the different criteria of this model, which has like 10 groups, but overall 21 questions. It has three different levels that you are ranked at, and you rank your institution. And it goes through everything from what kind of training do you give, what policy do you have, what's your business model, what is your preservation strategy, and all of those things to rank what your data is. And then we had an exercise in which we had to pick one of the institutions of people within the group and go through different criteria and assess it. And I think I try to do my best with UCT without necessarily being aware of all the questions, but also looking at, okay, let's be kind of realistic here. There's something we're driving towards, but we're not there yet. So like, I think once we get archivum, the preservation thing will go quite up. But at this point, we know that our system is not working to its full kind of extent. So overall, it was quite diverse in this discussion, going through so many different topics. I think in some ways all of us were a bit more advanced than what was being taught to us, and we had those solutions. So I still think that they could pitch this at a bit of a higher level. And we did kind of say that at the end that, you know, let's talk a little bit more. I don't know if it's a bit more advanced, but I had suggested that we look at maybe they could share some cases or things that they had done through or experiences they've had that might await us. I did feel that I did ask a lot of questions, but it really felt that, I don't know, it felt necessary and balanced, and I hope I wasn't trying to monopolize the conversation about us, but there was a lot of things where I wanted to check and see how things were being done and what they thought about what we were doing. And as a result, overall, what we're doing seems to be really, really in line with what the rest of the world is, or at least Europe, because that's who they're representing. So I think what I can definitely take back is that we are really not that far behind. And compared to some of the other people, we are actually more resourced in a way, both from a slight technological point of view and an operational point of view. that is a good thing to take. There were lots of very good resources that were shared. The diagrams, as I mentioned, there's also a great kind of fairy tale about fair data written by a set of Danish researcher, which I think that's a great way of explaining how the different data works, the different licenses work, and what you can use and reuse. And I definitely think we should do something with that in the future at DLS.